live on set at the Sound Lab. Mike Nice, what's the word, bro? Episode 128.
128. Not only is it 128, but it's the summertime. It's officially summertime. For educators like you and myself, the free time is there.
Yes, sir.
Vacation Mike is officially activated. So, you know, just enjoying things. I'm cool right now. I'm chilling.
I'm chilling.
I'm calm right now.
It's calm right now.
But, you know, it's good to be in the studio. Good to be in the garage here with Double M, here with Mello, here with Tex. We holding it down. 128.
Episode 128. We got a lot of things in store. Tex got us some special guests coming soon onto the show. So make sure you guys be tuned in for that. This summer, it doesn't stop.
Nope.
Although we on vacation, Double M is not on vacation. The grind continues to go, man. And we got a lot to catch up on. A lot's happened. A lot's happened since we've had our last episode when we sat one-on-one. You know, we could start it off with just sports.
Yeah, we're going to get to our bread and butter. And, you know, we're going to talk about sports. You know, we probably going to talk about our hometown teams. And one of our favorite teams to talk about is obviously the Boston Celtics. And by now, everybody knows the news of what's recently taken place with the Celtics trading a lot of fans' most beloved player over the last several seasons, 9 seasons to be exact. Marcus Smart's out of here. Celtics trade Marcus Smart in a 3-team deal that sees Marcus Smart go to the Grizzlies, but sees Kristaps Porzingis come to the Celtics in form what some people are now calling.
Don't even do
some people are now calling it.
We're not that some people.
The new big three, Marv.
It's not no damn big three.
It says Celtics now got 3 20-point scorers on a team.
That makes a big three? So there's a lot of big threes in NBA then. All
right, well, people are calling it what it is. Kristaps Porzingis is, what is he, a one-time All-Star? Has he ever been an All-Star before?
Never been an All-Star. Stop. Come on. Let's put some respect.
Listen, I've seen in the media, I've seen reports.
But do you call it Big Three?
Hell no.
Then don't bring it up.
I don't Big Three, but that's what's going to get pushed. Now the Celtics got their another big-time score on the roster, a lot of people feel like he is the missing piece. One person in particular who believes he's the missing piece is one Stephen A. Smith, who says the Celtics are not a favorite in the East with that trade. But before we get to Kristaps Porzingis coming to the Celtics, let's talk about Marcus Smart. Because, again, he spent 9 seasons here. His first year here was Rondo's last year here, I believe.
Yeah.
His first year here was
with
also
Brad Stevens'
first year as well. So Marcus Smart's been around for a lot. And you see, he has seen a lot of variations of the Boston Celtics teams. He's seen Celtics teams that weren't supposed to be successful but go very deep into the playoffs. He's seen Celtics teams that had the hype to win a championship that collapsed and fell out in, like, the second round. And then these last couple of years, I've seen a team that is supposed to go all the way and just have failed to live up to expectations. So Marcus Smart has seen a lot. But what are your thoughts and feelings on Marcus Smart being traded from the Boston Celtics after 9 years with the team?
Yeah, so you knew that this time was going to happen eventually with Marcus. The team needed a quick shakeup. It needed something to go. When you looked at this 3-guard lineup with White, Smart, and Brogdon, you knew you couldn't go into this year. It would have been irresponsible to go into this year with that lineup again of those three without shaking it up. I mean, I thought, and I think, you know, Brad Stevens and the Celtics team thought that your best option to get rid of is Brogdon. Get Brogdon's ass out of here. Keep Smart. Keep White, and figure out what you're gonna do from there. And the Celtics did, to their credit, they're not dummies. They did try to get Brogdon out of there. Just the Clippers saw that shit and said, "Yeah, cool. We don't want nothing to do with Malcolm Brogdon. We don't know what his physical's like. We don't know what the injury is gonna look like." And they canceled that. So Brad Stevens, to his credit, I did not know he had the cojones to do this. I really didn't. Because it wasn't like, okay, let's wait a couple of days to try to. Brad Stevens wanted to get this deal done ASAP.
They had to, in terms of, like, contract situations and his opt-in and whatnot, they had to make a quick flip.
So Marcus Smart was the casualty. And Marcus Smart gets sent to Memphis. And now we get Kristaps Porzingis. But when I think of Marcus, I remember always saying, this Celtics team is going to win a championship with Marcus Smart. just due to his defense, his tenacity, and everything that he brought to this team. Yes, he was boneheaded as hell. And he offensively could be super frustrated. He is the biggest no, yes guy when he pulls up for a random three and stuff. But it had to be done. What I didn't expect, Mike, was that I was going to be as emotional. I was going to be as emotional as I did. I'll tell y'all this story because I don't care. I was at the movies late at night because the trade happened late at night. I was at the movies late at night.
What were you seeing?
I was some dumbass blackening movie. It was a weak ass movie, bro. I was with a little ting, you know.
Little ting, bro.
Just watching a movie, having a good time. And, you know, the movie wasn't really entertaining me, so I said, let me just check my phone real quick.
Over here in the movie.
Just let me check. And then I'm in the group chat saying Marcus Smart got traded. It messed me up. How am I supposed to focus on the movie with Marcus Smart? And I was on my phone the whole time. Just like, wow, Marcus Smart really, really left. And it the next day, I'm just thinking about it like, damn, this dude's been around for a minute. Since he's part of that new regime when Doc Rivers, the Celtics, and all them left, Marcus Smart was supposed to be our next guy. I mean, when we got him, we thought he was going to be the point guard of the future. That obviously didn't work out, but he became something very special to Boston and what he meant to Boston. So it hurt me more than I expected it to hurt.
Yeah, I definitely agree with one of the first things you said in terms of, you know, we all want to hope and believe that, you know, this current version of the Celtics, the Tatum and Brown era, the Celtics is going to win a championship. And you figured that Marcus Smart was a part of that core. That, okay, Celtics are going to do whatever they can to build around Tatum, Brown, and Smart and try to get a championship out of that team. So, figured Marcus Smart was in here for the long haul, right next to Tatum, right next to Brown. You know, they turned him into the starting point guard. You figured, you know, that was their core three guys that they're going to roll with. So, to find out that they traded him was unexpected. It was definitely unexpected. I know people are saying, and you just said as well, you know, Brogdon probably had to be the guy to
And
go.
We had that conversation before the trade.
Yeah, we definitely had that.
I was telling you, Brogdon's got to go.
And I hate it because I'm a big fan of Malcolm Brogdon. He had an amazing season, won Sixth Man of the Year. Obviously, he caught a lot of heat in the playoffs and especially in that series against the Heat because he chose to play through an injury. And in playing through that injury, he was absolutely garbage. He was trash the whole series. Everything he did, offensively, defensively, he didn't give the team nothing. And, you know, a lot of people are killing him for that and kind of just forget the fact that he probably had one of his most healthier seasons of his career. And even though he took a back seat and a lesser role with the Celtics, he still managed to win the Sixth Man of the Year award. So I'm a huge Malcolm Brogdon fan. And I definitely didn't want to see him go. And then when the trade initially happened with Brogdon, and I think I tweeted this out, something about losing Brogdon is not going to sit right with me because, you know, I feel like he does a lot of things that are very helpful to this Celtics team. But as we saw, the trade didn't go through because teams are looking at his health report and they're like, yeah, cool. No one's touching that guy. But then when Brad Stevens made the quick flip to Marcus Smart, yeah, I think emotionally it's like, damn, he's been here for 9 years. That's a long time to be with a franchise, especially in this day and age where guys are usually flipping teams left and right, unless you're Curry or Dame.
Especially role players don't stay on teams.
Yeah, like if you're not a superstar, all-star, you know, most likely you're switching teams. Marcus Smart, you know, 9 years, like I said, is a lot. So that part got to me. But at the same time, we've been saying, especially coming out of the last season and how they collapsed and whatnot, we're not going to get into that. But obviously, this team needed a change. They needed some type of change. Me personally, I felt as if the major change that needed to happen with this team was with the coaching staff. You bring a stronger coaching staff around this team and you somewhat run it back in a sense. This team should be successful because as we saw last season, it's a very talented team. It's just leadership and coaching was a big issue. So I didn't feel like a major change needed to happen with the roster, definitely with the coaching staff. So I didn't see the Marcus Smart trade happening. At the same time, I guess Brad Stevens felt like a major shakeup was necessary. Yeah. And a lot of people are saying, and which I'm starting to kind of agree with, somewhat not truly, but now this kind of puts more of the leadership, you know, puts more on Tatum and Brown to be leaders for this team, because Marcus Smart was that guy. Yeah. He's been here the longest. He's probably the most vocal on the team. He's probably the toughest guy on the team.
Not probably.
That's just what he is and what he has been. So, you know, people are saying Smart's gone now. Tatum and Brown have to step up more as leaders to lead this team, because they can't rely on Smart to be that vocal leader.
Smart's one of those dudes that he commands a lot of attention. It's just that's his personality. When he walks into the room, he's going to be the guy that you gravitate to because of his personality, who he is. You remember seeing the clip in the playoffs where he's like, yo, I'm checking back in. Like, he has that stature about him.
That might have been some of the problem that got him out of here.
Right, but people said that, and I didn't think much of it because I know Marcus would have done that with Brad Stevens as well. Like, he just has.
Was he doing with that with Ime?
I said Brad Stevens, bro.
Okay, you skipped the whole coach.
I said Brad Stevens.
You skipped the whole coach.
But he has that stature. But even when Ime came, he never said Tatum Brown. He always said Smart Tatum Brown. Like, he just has who he was, and he won Defensive Player of the Year under Ime. But now that he's gone, there's a void.
Big time.
There's a huge void. And sometimes you need a void for those next guys to step up. Now Jaylen Brown and Tatum, you can't look over your shoulder. As things are down, no one else is going to step up. You're not listening to Horford. Horford is Horford at this point. Tatum and Brown have no choice. It's not that they have no choice but to step up and fill that leadership void, because now they're, what, 7-8 years into the league. It goes by quick. They're veterans in the league. Marcus is out. Someone's got to speak.
You're right. And you would hope that it's Tatum and Brown, but I guess I'm on the fence, because especially in the last 2-3 years, it shouldn't have to be this year now that Smart's gone. I would say in the last 2-3 years, Tatum and Brown should have been stepped up. I know Smart was kind of still there. They probably kind of brought Kemba along and they brought Horford back. But for the last 2-3 years, this has been Tatum and Brown's team. So even if they're not overtaking Smart in the locker room and the huddles or whatnot, the fact that they're the guys who are getting All-NBA and All-Star appearances and whatnot, you'd figure that in the last 2-3 years, they have somewhat stepped up. And yes, it could happen now because, like you said, that void is there with Smart gone. But my fear is 7-8 years in, are we just, this is who we have? Amazing.
Oh, they're soft. Don't get me wrong.
Amazing those superstar, All-NBA players. But
them two soft.
Do I really feel like, oh, all of a sudden they're about to step in and step up and be the rah-rah guy that Smart was?
We don't need them to be rah-rah.
Not rah-rah, but we saw they lack the proper leadership you would like to see out of your best players on a team. And the fact that the Celtics have two of those guys
it's sad.
The same type of personality is kind of wild to see. So like you said, that's a big void that I feel like Brad Stevens needs to address. I know you brought in Porzingis and whatnot, but you have to address the fact that if you look down the list on this roster, Tatum, Brown, Horford, Porzingis, Brogdon, Derek White, Pritchard, Cornett, Hauser, who the hell is tough on this team?
I think what Brad, I don't know if Brad's going to find it in players, but what he did do it, and he found it in coaches. And he found it with Sam Cassell, and he found it in, I'm forgetting his name right now, from the assistant coach from the Milwaukee.
And they brought back Phil Pressey.
They brought back Phil Pressey?
Phil Pressey's an assistant coach.
Where was
now.
He? Where was he before?
Which Stop and Shop you want to talk about? Shaz. Star Marcus still exists. Nah, no disrespect. Welcome back, Phil Preston.
Yeah. So they brought in toughness in the coaches, which they didn't have, and it was probably really hard. I mean, we gave a lot of shit to Brad Stevens for, you know, the coaching mistake he did with Missoula and stuff. But in hindsight, how are you going to bring in coaches in the middle of a season? You didn't know how to do so. So now you bring in the right coaching staff. I'm really happy for the Sam Cassell. I think Sam Cassell should be a coach. It's kind of crazy how head coach. Yeah. It's kind of crazy how he's just been getting tossed around as an assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere he goes. But so I don't know if we'll find it in the toughness in the players, but you're definitely going to find it in the coaches. Yes, it'll be nice to have a PJ Tucker type, Marcus Morris type of player, but
at the end of the day, as tough as a coaching staff can be, and I feel like they have a good staff right now, there's only five guys that could be on that court when the game is going on. And we've seen over the years a clip that will forever stand out to me. Small-ass Isaiah Thomas in a playoff series, maybe it was against the Bulls, where he gathered up, I think it was Crawford, Horford, maybe
Crowder.
Crowder, Horford, Gerald Green, might have been Avery, maybe not Avery Bradley, man. I don't know. But small-ass Isaiah Thomas gathered them all up in simple words, like, let's take care of these motherfuckers, like, let's handle, like, something as small as that. You're not getting that from anybody on this roster. Your next toughest guy might be Grant Williams. If you really think about it, your next toughest guy on the roster who's ready to – people, we're going to get on him for saying what he did with Jimmy Butler. Nobody else got the balls to do that on his team.
Right.
So as much as, like I said, and I agree with you, I like how they upgraded the coaching staff. It'd be nice to have somebody else with the jersey on the court who can, when things are getting tough, when shots are not falling, when the defense is starting to collapse, and who's on the court like, yo, fellas, let's go. Yeah. Come on.
They talk. The thing about Brown and Tatum, they talk a great game off the court.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They'll say amazing things to the media.
Off the court, Jaylen, and I really wanted it to be Jaylen to be that guy because it looks like he can be.
Mm-hmm.
The way he speaks, everything, like, he really looks like he can be that guy to be the leader. And he'll say, oh, my guys, you know, I got to get my guys ready. And you got Tatum. He'll go off the court and say, respectfully, I'm one of the best players. He plays on the court. Since he said that shit, it went down. But they'll talk a great game. But it takes more than just putting points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more. And I think losing to Miami has to, like, losing to Miami when you are the clear favorite, the playoffs were destined for you to make it to the final. The road couldn't have gotten any easier. After going through a tough road the year before, you had the easiest road handed to you. And the reason you didn't win is because your leaders could not lead. Your quote-unquote leaders could not lead.
Yeah, I mean,
Celtics are front runners. They've been front runners for a while.
And, I mean, that's just what we have right now in this current era, this current version of the team. You know, Brad Stevens has made it clear they're building around Tatum and Brown. I've said it before in this podcast. I'll say it again. If Ime coached last year, they're winning the championship, because I feel like with Ime and Smart still on the team, they had a great foundation. And even to now, even losing Smart, somehow, some way, this trickles back. If Ime never did what he did, if Ime never got in his situation.
If he wasn't so horny, he would have been chilling.
Because you got Smart. Guy Smart comes out and says, man, I want to retire as Celtics. I'll be real with you. Say the Celtics got a championship last year or the year before. He probably retires as Celtic.
A lot of things change.
But again, it trickles back down some way, somehow, to the fact that Ime really screwed up an amazing run that this team could have been on. Because, yeah, they fell to Golden State that year, but I feel like Ime back a full year, the whole team bringing in Brogdon, just have everybody on that same identity that Ime brought to the team defensively, I felt a championship was coming. But here we are, and now we're seeing the trickle effects.
Ime was great because he brought toughness. The only problem with Ime was he was the toughest person on the floor for the Celtics. Celtics still were getting, like, we forget, the Celtics were getting punked last year with Ime on the floor. Celtics lost to Golden State Warriors because they got punked by Draymond Green. Once Draymond Green woke up after the first two games, he was ass. Draymond Green started getting into his antics, got into the Celtics' heads, and it was over from there. That's why the Celtics lost. Yeah. They were more talented than Golden State. And I know as time goes on, people are just going to say, oh, you know, Golden State, that was a dynasty. That was just a great team. I'm never going to let that go. I'm never, because the Golden State, they weren't that great.
Yeah, but you the were dynasty a better team. Found, that's why that's that finals, it bothers me, but it don't bother me. Because, yeah, Celtics, talented-wise, were a better team to a certain extent.
Better team. No, you were a better team.
But I feel like because Draymond Green got into his antics and because Curry stepped up and because Clay and Kerr, I feel like
Clay didn't do shit.
He didn't do much, but what they've been through over the years also helped, especially they punked the Celtics more tougher than the Celtics, but on the Golden State side, you know, they had the DNA to get them to where they got to. So that series bothered me, but we don't want
to
go back.
Yeah, no, that just to go, that goes to show that just even though Ime was the toughest person there and he instilled toughness, Celtics can't, they couldn't let it go.
Well, it's on Brad. Brad, I think Brad, I would like to believe Brad understands what this team might be still lacking. And everything coming out after this trade is Celtics got a lot more work that they still want to do and still moves they want to make and players they're probably targeting. Obviously, I think their main goal right now is to get the Jaylen Brown contract out the way and sign him back, and then they'll figure out things from there. But they definitely have more work to do. But, you know, let's quickly touch on the fact that they do have Porzingis now. And Porzingis last season probably had the best season of his career.
Had him on my fantasy
with
team.
Washington. He stayed healthy. And staying healthy, he averaged, what, 20? Something and eight.
22 and 8.
22 and 8, which is solid. Which is very solid.
A couple blocks. Who's counting?
A couple blocks. I mean, listen. Add another guy who could get buckets at that position. That's great. Because Horford ain't doing it. Rob Williams been in the league 5-6 years. Still don't know how to make a jump.
You need a low post presence.
Yeah, you need somebody else down there. And even with Porzingis, I still think if they can have another piece of insurance off the bench, because you already know Horford probably not playing back-to-backs, and you got to prep for Rob possibly missing time, even Porzingis possibly missing time. You know, they probably going to say, well, Cornette's still here. I'm good. But I'm not going to be mad that Kristaps Porzingis is a Boston Celtic. I have no issue with it at all.
No, I'm not upset with it. Porzingis adds another element to the team. Porzingis would have been great with Marcus Smart. That would have been just the way they do pick and rolls. I think Celtics are going to suffer a little offensively without Marcus Smart. I don't think they understand how effective he was and how smart of an offense. Outside of him jacking up crazy threes, Smart was a very smart offensive player, offensive playmaker as well. I think because you didn't use Brogdon as a point guard last year, you technically lost your best quote-unquote passer on the team. So which means Tatum's going to have to play more of a point forward unless you figure out what you're going to do with this point guard situation. So Celtics lose and win. They lose playmaking for sure with losing Marcus Smart offensively. With Porzingis, the way they can play the ball and play spread out or have a low post presence, like I'm really interested to see a lineup with Rob and Porzingis. Just test it out and see what that looks like. You can have a lot of fun with these lineups with Porzingis in there. And with the zone that the Celtics struggle so much with, having Porzingis in there, knowing what he can do in the mid-range, what he can do outside or inside, you're going to be able to attack the zone a lot easier. You're just going to need a playmaker. Tatum, could he step up and be how they use Tatum in the playoffs is not how they use Tatum in the season. Because obviously in the playoffs, everything runs through Tatum. He becomes that point forward, and he does really good at it. If he can make that his game for a whole season and become that type of point forward, he could be the best player in the world. He could be the best player in the world. Easy as that. He could be the best player, but that's also a lot of strain on him.
Yeah, that, and I also feel, and you get glimpses of it here and there, but I know this gets brought up a lot, but I would also like to see Tatum and Brown play off of each other way more than they do. Sometimes it gets brought up to the fact that you got these two superstars on the team and they rarely assist to each other. They rarely assist to each other. You have two guys who could go and get a bucket, I get it. But at the same time, You got two guys who draw a lot of attention where Tatum is 6'8", 6'9". There's no reason why he can't pick and roll and pick and pop off of JB. There's no reason why JB, as big as he is at the guard slash forward position, can't pick and pop for Tatum. Like, there has to be more plays, and I'm hoping that as we speak right now, Joe Mazzulla is working with himself or the coaching staff to actually get plays in the book for the next season. But there's no reason why Tatum and Brown aren't playing off each other more. Where sometimes clear the court out, spread it out, and say, Tatum, come set this pick for JB and make something happen. Brown, come set this pick for Tatum and make something happen. There should be more plays with them two going off each other moving forward instead of, like you said, the, you know, his turn, my turn type of thing. It works, kind of, but at the same time, I think you can be a lot more dangerous if you have those kind of plays in. But a little bit more depth, Celtics need for sure. Toughness somehow needs to be added. And, you know, the Celtics will be one of the top teams again in the East. Obviously, I think later on we could dive back in as we continue to move through the summer and see what kind of moves the Celtics continue to make. But I fully expect Brad Stevens to do what's right for this team to try to put him back in a position where they should once again be chasing for a championship.
No doubt, man. When we get back, we got more to talk about here on Double M Live. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk some music. Appreciate the Sound Lab getting us right as always. Mike Nice, bro, we were just talking earlier, having a conversation. What happened? Having a conversation with Tex, I'll actually read this out loud. So there hasn't been a hip-hop song or album yet in 2023 that is charted. According to the new Billboard report, there hasn't been a hip-hop album or song that has reached number one on the Billboard 200 or Hot 100 charts all year. A first since 1993. Now, there's many elements. Many elements on why this could be possible. Tex, you brought up TikTok being one of the reasons. If you want to just repeat that real quick.
Yeah, I was saying mainly that, I don't even think it's picking me up. Because TikTok is out now, people have the ability to take snippets of really terrible songs, but snippets that are amazing, and they make the song sound like they're gems. But when you go and you listen to the song, it's only that 30-second snippet that actually sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I think TikTok culture, first of all, one, this is still wild. Like, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's a wild stat. Hip-hop is probably the biggest genre in the world. And now we can probably start seeing that, you know, things have definitely changed with music going down the road. But just initial thoughts, Mike, of just when I told you there hasn't been a hip-hop song in 2023 that's reached the top charts. What was going through your mind?
I mean, you know, one thing that we briefly talked about was the fact that I believe, to the best of my knowledge, the more popular hip-hop artists have not dropped albums in 2023, yet, at least. You think of the guys who are really mainstream, are really well-known, the Kendricks, the J. Cole's, who's another name that it said?
Kendrick, J. Cole, Future.
Future, Drake, yes. There's probably a couple more that I'm missing, but some of those are the top, you know, people in the game that have really been holding it down over the last couple of years and really been making albums that everybody's tuned into. None of them have dropped anything in 2023. And I'm telling you, if Drake or Future, Kendrick, J. Cole were to drop an album, it's most likely going to hit because they probably have the most followers, the most fans right now. And, you know, their following and their fans are going to make one, two songs, whatever, off their album spike. Cause something's going to hit them. Those dudes that we mentioned don't really miss right now. But none of them have dropped anything. And you have these other artists who are not on their level, You know, me personally, I'm not tapped in with a lot of new music and a lot of new artists. That's just me personally. But you have a lot of new artists who just aren't on that level. And they're dropping albums. They're dropping songs. But are they going to top the charts like you just said? Probably not. And I mean, when those mainstream, those big artists do drop, I'm sure if they drop before 2023 ends, you'll have a song that, you know, will be at what top of those charts or whatnot. But as of right now, hip-hop is going to drop. Hip-hop songs are going to get made. Artists are going to drop songs. But until you have the next person crack the Drake and the Kendrick and the J. Cole type levels, I don't see it happening.
And, like, it's been on a decline. So even last year, only six hip-hop artists, which were Tyler, the Creator, Future, Kendrick, Pusha T, Gunna, and Lil Durk, saw top-charting albums, while Future and Drake had Wait For You, and Jack Harlow had First Class as number one single. So it's already, you can already see that it's been on the decline here. You mentioned Gunna. He just dropped the album. I think when this report just came out, it was right before Gunna's album just dropped. Young Thug just dropped the album last week. Couple new songs just got added, by the way, if you want to check that out. But yeah, so I think maybe Gunna, maybe Young Thug might move the needle forward a little bit when it comes to hip hop. But when you think about it too, music's just changed. The music that we listen to has changed completely. EDM has really taken over. House music has really taken over. The rise of Latin music. You think of Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is one of the biggest artists in the world. Think about the rise of Afrobeat. So, like, these are the things that people are really gravitating to right now. You go out to the clubs and stuff like that, that's what you're hearing. You're not hearing much hip-hop in clubs anymore. You're hearing a lot of Latin music. You're hearing a lot of Afrobeats. You're hearing a lot of house, EDM. EDM is the biggest thing right now. Like, it had a little wave. Now it's huge. It's everywhere. It's in every genre. EDM's in Latin music. It's in international music. It's in African music. It's everywhere right now. And I think just how we consume music has completely changed. And hip-hop, which is still, I think, the most popular genre in the world, has taken a step back these past couple of years to the rise of those genres.
Yeah, international genres of music, it's definitely taking off. I mean, one that, you know, both of us definitely listen to, Afrobeats for sure, taking off. I remember a year ago, April, I remember meeting Lil Tink somewhere telling me that I'ma Piano's going to come to the States. She was from London. She said, I'ma Piano's going to come to the States and really take off. I'm like, Emma Piano, what's that? You know, she played a couple songs for me. I'm like, okay, you know, we'll see. She said she's going to take off in the States. Now, you see people talking about it, music coming out like it's everywhere. And I mean, I definitely would say you go out, you go to a day party, a brunch or something, like, yo, it's Afrobeats. And some I'm a Piano. That's what you get. And they'll sprinkle in hip-hop, because not to say that there's no hip-hop songs that people don't tap into and like nowadays, but you ask people today, if I'm going to a brunch or something, a day party or going out, what you want to hear right now? They're going to be like, yo, give me some Afrobeats. Let me get some Afrobeats. That's what it is. Even a dance hall.
We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I know you're going to bring that up. But yeah, like, that's something, Afrobeats and Piano, like, those are really what people want to hear more than the usual hip hop. Like, yo, granted, again, I said this before, I say it again, I'm not as tapped in with the hip hop of today. But if I'm gonna go out and you put on some hip hop, I'm not gonna be a happy camper. I'm not gonna be a happy camper. I want to hear some Afrobeats. I want to hear some Emma Piano. I want to hear some dancehall reggae. So, like, you can miss me on the hip hop. I'm so sorry. But
hip-hop isn't so much of the not what everybody wants at the moment.
Right.
Do you think that has a lot to do with the repetitiveness of what hip hop has become?
Yeah.
Because they typically fit a mainstream or like a generalization of what every song that comes out nowadays is, you know?
Yeah, so hip hop, the beauty of hip hop is it's ever changing. It will always adapt to whatever it is. Like you see hip hop, when dancehall, when reggaeton was hot, hip hop got onto reggaeton. When dancehall was hot, hip hop got onto that. When Afrobeat is hot, hip hop gets into that. And like Afrobeat, dancehall, reggaeton, they want that hip hop style of, because hip hop will always be forever. That will never change. Right now, we're in a phase, like you mentioned, the TikTok phase. Like DaBaby, for example, DaBaby's a hard rapper. He's tough. 2018, 2020, he was running hip hop. Yep. He was the guy. He has the song right now, Shake Some. That's great song. A complete
amazing song. Feel me, Mello?
That's a complete TikTok song. He doesn't rap at all. It's a complete shake.
No, he's not rapping.
He's not rapping at all. DaBaby is a great rapper. But he had his little downfall, whatever. How do you get back onto it? You do a TikTok song. Shake Some, all it is a TikTok song.
It's amazing.
You get your little 30-second clip.
It's amazing.
People are twerking, dancing, da da da. But that's not going to, no, next year, 2 years, 3 years, we're not remembering DaBaby for that song.
Nope. Have you guys noticed too that over the course of years, music itself is drastically getting shorter?
Yeah, but it's 'cause streaming. Streaming's changed music.
Well, do you think it's streaming or like the, it's like not necessarily the availability of it, but like the, everybody can do it.
So the reason I say streaming is because exactly, like being accessible, right? You want to put on a quick 2 minute song, drop it on iTunes, someone's going to hear it real quick, and that's it. Look, think about it. If I sent you 3 songs right now, one song is 1 minute and 30 seconds, one song is 4 minutes, another song is 8 minutes, which song are you going to click on first?
Me?
Yeah. You're going to click the 8-minute song? I think most people will go click on the 130. It's quick. I get it. Accessible. We're in a world right now, Instagram, Reels, right? What are Reels? Reels are 1 minute and 30 seconds. TikToks, 1 minute. We want things very quick. And music has to move that way, too. Like, oh, shit. Nobody wants to hear. Yo, when's have we heard a hip-hop song that has 3 verses? That shit is gone, bro.
I've caught myself listening to songs like, yo, why is this song still playing? Like, I'm like, oh, hold on. What am I talking about?
Rappers having 3 verses on a song, that used to be the standard. This is like you always have 3 verses. That is gone. Have y'all noticed that? The 3-verse songs are over with.
I definitely, like Texture said, I definitely sometimes catch myself listening to old songs on my...
It's like, this song is
dumb. And I'm like, yo, this song's still going.
But and it's only like 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
That's how it used to be. That's how it used to be. So times have definitely changed for sure.
Even like, look what Drake does this a lot, Travis Scott, and I say Kendrick. Look what they do now with their songs. There's always a beat switch.
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't like that.
It's because you need...
I don't like that.
So you'll give you a beat for 1 minute, and boom, there's a beat switch. Okay, it's like a difference.
I don't like songs just, like that at all.
That's just the way it's going.
I be wanting to download a song. I'm like, yo, I gotta download, but I don't want to hear the second half of this.
That's just how the world's moving. But Drake does that a lot.
Well, you were gonna bring up the whole
right
dance hall and how things are shifted, but go ahead. Speak
right,
on
so
that.
let's get back to
me and Tex want to talk tonight.
Let's get back to our roots. Our roots is really, you know, the international things, international music, what we like to listen to in the clubs, and there's been a huge shift. When we were coming up, late high school, I say mid high school, all the way up to our college, to a little after our college, was dancehall.
Oh yeah,
dancehall was the biggest thing. talking Vibes.
Yes.
Talking Mavido, talking Buju Bot, everyone, all the legends. Dance hall was the thing.
Yes.
There was still Afro beats. There was still reggaeton. There was still Latin music. There was still all of these things. But dance hall.
You wanted that dance hall to come on because you knew.
Dance hall was super busy at the time. It was just what we listened to. And that's kind of it's died off. Dance hall has really drastically, like Soca's always been this thing. It'll always be steady. It'll always be steady throughout
Soca's
because of Carnival.
Timeless.
Yeah, it's timeless. Dance hall in itself has real one. You had one guy that really carried it big time. Yes, you had other, you had the Popcons
Vibes.
And everything like that. But Vibes was the head honcho. Where Afrobeats, people don't even know who the artists are, what they listen to most of the time. But Vibes was like the head honcho. He carried it. Even though he was in jail the whole time, he's carried dancehall. And it's Tinker. You go to the clubs now, if they play dancehall, they're playing dancehall from our
yeah, there's
era.
There's no new dancehall that's really going to pop off in no club right now.
Other than Skilly Bang? Mm. And Skilly Bang, that's more like trap dancehall kind.
It ain't no Vibes dancehall.
It's not no. Skilly Bang's probably the only artist right now that's getting hits out in American clubs and things like that. That American people are really listening to. We have the song right now, Taliban, that's really hot. That's getting airwaves. But dancehall is really gone. And I think there's I have a couple theories, but I want to hear your.
I wasn't gonna give a theory. I was just gonna really shout out to that era of like late high school
bashments.
Yo,
they don't know about that,
just
man.
Just had to shout out that era one time because when I tell you, you go to a bashment thing, you know what? We had our college parties. Like, yo, when the dance hall is on, you may pull up with your boys. When them things come on, don't look for the fellas,
bro. I still remember my first one.
Don't look for the fellas, because everybody going to be...
Shit on one-on-one, because a man is close by.
Don't look for the people you came with when them songs come on. And if you're looking for the people that you came with when them songs come on, you're doing something wrong. So shout out to that era, because like you said, from late high school, I remember my summers with... Oh, my goodness.
Bro, I think when Hoja came out, that was 2011. It was my senior year of high school. Once Egyptian came out with Hoja, things was different. Things started. Is this the he really opened the door? Obviously, it was still popping, but when Hoja came out, that song just started playing everywhere. Then you have the what song?
You're busy. You're busy to all these songs.
You're just busy.
You're busy to all these songs.
And so I think now with Afrobeats, really the past maybe 3-4 years. Has really taken up the scene, and it's very big, it's very popular. I think reason why Afrobeat might have a run just as big as dancehall or even longer, and I wouldn't say wiped because it's not competing, but it's really silenced dancehall in the American mainstream, is you can market Afrobeats. Dancehall is very vulgar. The language is very... So a lot of great dancehall songs will never play on radio due to the... You can't play virginity on radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dancehall is a very vulgar genre. It says a lot of things that you can't really have kids listen to. There's some old dancehall songs I listen to now. I'm like, damn, I was bumping this. This is crazy. Afrobeat's more lighthearted. It's more lighthearted, it's more outside
and
vibe.
The thing with Afrobeats, and I love Afrobeats, I really do. You can't get busy to much Afrobeat songs as you could as dancehall. And like I said, that's no knock on Afrobeats. Afrobeats is great. But obviously...
When he says busy, he means wine tings.
Yeah, wine tings. You know, grab a shorty by the waist and, you know, oil your waistline, no stiff back. It's for another time. But nah, Afrobeats is great because the beat and people get going. It's amazing. But for the people who like to grab somebody by the hand, spin them around and grab their waist and start moving the hips and the waist, I really feel like that is dying down. And it, not to say there's no Afrobeat songs that can do that. There surely are. But like,
but I don't think there's a there's many good slow wine songs.
Now?
Now.
Oh, yeah. In general, it's not anymore because you got genres like... Like, in general now, yeah, slow wine type of songs, they don't exist
too much anymore. The dance hall culture, because I still listen to dance hall. Like, I still listen to it. When we're talking about the public, like how the public, the American, when you go to clubs and you go out, like, I still listen to dance hall. But dance hall is very violent now. There's no slow wine. It's very aggressive. It's very chop, 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 chop. It's very, like, I love it, but it's not something I can... Them it's not, yeah, the slow wine stuff. If you ask a DJ to play some slow wine, he's playing something from 2009 to 2015, the golden age. That's the golden age of dancehall.
DJs don't understand. Not even a DJ. I can't even say he's a DJ. All because they could step into that bag and play a bunch of slow wine if they want to. But, like, again, with the artists in this day and age, you're not getting too many...
But think about it. Like, think about R&B.
Slow wine is lost.
Think about R&B enthusiasts, right? They'd be like, R&B is not the same.
It's still laughing at me. It's lost. Mello, it's lost. Slow wine is lost, bro. It's not the same.
It is. It's not the same.
2023, slow wine, not the same.
Y'all ever listened to Brazilian music?
I have listened to Brazilian music.
Brazilian funk?
What's the difference? That's like the Brazilian funk is like it's very similar to a mapiano.
Not familiar with that.
So mapiano is like high bass, like it's like techno house, like house.
Is this Brazilian music slow wine
like
music,
house.
Bro?
No,
no,
Brazil.
Hold on.
Okay.
Brazilian funk is not wine music. But
all right.
There's Brazilian music that's a step above.
Yeah. You talk about the other stuff. This guy talking about that other stuff. This man talking about that.
A step above wine?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
This man talking about that other stuff.
Step above wine.
But back to your point about Afrobeat isn't, you know, you don't need a pair to dance with and stuff like that. I think that's another reason why it's so big. With Afrobeat, you don't need somebody.
You just go off.
You could just go off.
Which is why it's popping right now.
Individually,
sure.
It's very up. It's very upbeat. It's very active. So I think that's why it's really like I haven't listened to the radio. I didn't know Afrobeat was on American radio. I had no idea. Till last week, I had my dad's car. I had to pick him up from the airport. So naturally, I put on here in Boston. We listen to like Jammy 945. I put on Jammy 945. I had Rema Calm Down playing. I had a Davido playing on. I'm like, whoa. I was shocked. I said, wow. They made it to mainstream radio like that?
And it's because the radio stations, I probably understand that's what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
That's just
what
it
great. Is. That's great. I was really pleasantly surprised because obviously without listening to radio, I'm in my own bubble. I know what's popular. And I knew those songs were popular. I just didn't know that. Because now you're not even talking about black people. This is to the mainstream of people that are listening to Afrobeats. That was a shocker to me. So you're telling me kids I went to high school with in a predominantly white school know these artists, know who Rema is, know who Burna Boy is? I didn't know that was a thing unless you're in those circles. So that was really cool to me.
Yeah, I mean, as we've seen, and especially as we continue to get older, one thing is always going to remain the same. Times will continue to change. We've seen the different eras over the years. And right now we're in an era where, you know, them good old, like I said, them days of whining and bashments and busy with a girl, like them days are done. Them days are done. Like,
it's sad because I love dance hall, but
yeah.
The new dance hall artists.
Yeah, it's not the same as when it was before. And who knows? Maybe there could be a resurgence. When that resurgence happens, it could be way past.
Yeah, but we won't.
It could be way past.
We won't be in our bashment
era
no more.
Exactly. We're not going to be doing no bashment. I be making sure the kids bring their ass home, right? Word. So we'll see, man. But you know, times definitely change. Being two people like ourselves who respect that culture and respect that type of music, would we love to see a resurgence? Absolutely. But you know, these are the times we're living in with the type of music coming out. You know, got Tex over here saying, is hip hop dead? I don't know if I'd say hip hop is dead, but I'd say definitely international music is taking over right now for sure in terms of the Bad Bunnies and the Afro Beats, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's cool. The reason I brought it up is because I'm currently trying to work on a summer mix. And I was looking, I was listening to my old mixes, and like my early mixes was just all dance hall.
Amazing.
It was all dance hall. And I saw the transition in my mixes of where it became. To a point, my last mix was very Afrobeat Amapiano. And while I'm currently working on this mix, it's damn near all Amapiano. And I'm like, damn, I need to try to sprinkle in some dance hall. And the dance hall that I'm listening to now can't fit this mix. It can't fix. So I gotta probably go back to the old bag and stuff. But it's crazy how music just changes. I want dance hall to be back to where it is. I mean, those are songs you can listen to when you're in the whip, when you got your little, what they call them now, passenger princesses right next to you, and you just, she looked back, she know what that is.
Hey, yo.
She looked back, she know what that
is. She said that is I. She's like, you
know me? Passenger princesses, hey. Like dance hall, it can set a great mood. And I miss it, man.
You put some, you know what, let me chill out.
This guy.
Let me chill out. Nah, I feel what you're saying, though. Absolutely. I can only hope that there's a resurgence. But
there's still some songs, though. Like I said, Taliban is a big song out right now, and it's a really fun song. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to move on to the next segment. We're just going to do a star for the night. Mike Nice, the sh's on you, brother.
Absolutely. Definitely want to bring this star. If you know about Dublin, we have our stars and sorries. But definitely want to bring this star up for sure. June gets recognized a lot because obviously it's Pride Month, but another thing that doesn't get acknowledged too much during this month is vitiligo, because it is also vitiligo awareness month. And if you don't know what vitiligo is, it's a skin condition where you lose pigmentation and you know, your skin starts to turn, and it can happen to anybody in any race where just the pigmentation, black, white, whatever you are, it just starts to go. And I definitely want to shout out Vitiligo Awareness Month, and also June 25th. As we're recording right now, it is June 27th, I believe. Mm-hmm. June 25th is World Vitiligo Day. So whether it's the June 25th, whether it's this month in whole, I want to shout out Vitiligo Awareness. Me personally, both of my parents have vitiligo, which is why I wear both of these wristbands here that just shout out Vit Friends Vitiligo Support Group, which is a support group that my mother started for people who have vitiligo. And it's really taken over the nation, and a lot of people have really come out of their shell, people who don't necessarily want to talk about the fact that they have vitiligo. There's people out there who use a lot of makeup to cover up the fact that they have vitiligo. My mom created this support group to have people come out of their shell and have people connect around the world, around the country, and really embrace each other and really embrace the fact that, you know, this is a skin condition that they have, but, you know, this is not a contagious condition. This is not a terminal condition. Like, doesn't mean that there's some kind of sentence on your life. It's just literally, you know, the change in the pigmentation of your skin. So with that being said, I wanted to definitely give a star to Vitiligo Awareness Month in the month of June, and also Vitiligo World Vitiligo Day, which is on June 25th. Shout out to all the people across the nation who are celebrating this month, this day. And, you know, from both of my mom and dad, shout them out as well for all the work that they do to support and lift up people around the world, around the country that have vitiligo. So that is my double M star. I want to put that out there
super,
for sure.
Super dope, man. Shout out to your parents for the movement that they created and continue for spreading the awareness on that every day.
Absolutely.
That you wear that, man. So super, super dope. This was a really fun episode of Double M. Shout out to our social media manager, Texas in the building. Shout out to our guy, Mello, Sound Lab's greatest. Shout out to Jack in the building.
Jack's a guy, bro.
Shout out
That's
to
a dangerous
Jack in
man,
the building.
Bro.
I think, did he flip me off?
Hey, man.
That's crazy. Like, you didn't even know I was about to shout him out. Shout out to Jack. And shout out to the passenger princess in the building
the passenger
as well.
Princess.
This is Double M Live, episode 128. That's Mike Nice. DJ Meez. We are to the moon.